This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at IBM Interconnect in Las Vegas. Today I'm talking with Sebastian Krauser.
Ian, thank you very much. I'm the general manager for IBM Cloud in Europe, so I'm responsible for IBM's cloud business in the entire territory of Europe.
We heard on the stage today from Ginni Rometty that IBM's just added its 20th country. How exciting is that, and how many of your customers want to see that growth?
Well, I think it's a testimony to the investments that we are doing in our hybrid cloud strategy. We have been investing constantly in our footprint of data centers. We have almost 60 around the world now, which are IBM cloud data centers. They are all connected by a dark fiber network, the most performing network that you can find outside of the military in the industry. And for us, it's just demonstrating also to our clients that we are following through on our strategy and helping them to execute the strategy that we have been developing with them so that they can deploy their workloads, applications in data centers across the world and have the best opportunity with regards to latency, performance, and so forth.
Over the last 3 years, IBM has been talking hybrid cloud. At this conference, we've started to see quite an interesting definition of hybrid. It means everything stays on the client premises, the data stays on premises, the applications are in the cloud, and we start to talk to each other. Has that been driven by customer requests for better clarification, or is that as much a business decision by IBM as to how better to deliver cloud?
Well, let me give a little bit of context to the listeners how we have gotten to the point where we are right now. So 2 years ago, I think we phrased the coin of hybrid cloud. At this point in time, there was a debate in the marketplace whether customers would be going down the path of public clouds or down the path of private clouds. Our opinion always has been, based on our decades of enterprise IT experience, that it has to be both, for the very, very simple reason that there is basically no cloud that would fit all workloads or all applications. So on top of that, customers have invested in infrastructure, they have invested in the entire logic and the process that is sitting on the middleware on the in-prem environment, and you don't want to throw this in the bin. You want to leverage those capabilities and bring this to the front end, so to speak, when you are doing a digital transformation and bringing the worlds together of the systems of engagement and the systems of record. So that was the logic behind the hybrid cloud strategy. Then I think over the last couple of quarters, I would almost say, there is a different discussion that is related to data privacy and data security, which is, where do I put the data and how can I combine the compute and the data processing in the best way? And given the container technologies that are existing, there are definitely models where it makes sense to bring the compute in the form of a container towards where the data is sitting on-prem, and that suits some customers in certain industries where you have highly regulated rules that you need to comply to. Hence, that architecture might be better suited than putting something onto a public cloud, where you might be able to still do the same kind of mechanism with regards to data protection, but it might be more effort, and in the way that you have already invested in your on-prem environment, it is better to do it in the way that you just described it.
Do you think this will help clear up part of the confusion for customers? Because customers in the early stages of cloud were being told, abandon all your on-premises, rush to cloud, save all this money. And all of that seemed to overlook the issue of security, data ownership, latency, how they were going to make their connection. A lot of large enterprises were heavily invested. They have long-term deals on some of their equipment. They couldn't just abandon contracts and lease agreements. Do you think customers now are going to be more relaxed about moving portions of their environment to cloud now it's much clearer that it's not about rip out everything you've got and run away with it?
I think we are definitely at a completely different stage of maturity when it comes to the cloud industry lifecycle, so to speak. You are right in saying that when the cloud discussion has started, it was a lot about cost effectiveness, it was about next cheap compute, the next cheap storage capabilities. I think that discussion has vanished at this point in time. Not that the cloud would be more cost efficient or cost effective, but I think we are now in a discussion where the cloud is being used for innovation and for implementing business value and for driving new business models, because it's truly a platform for enabling business success. That's what the cloud basically is. And in that regard, I truly believe that customers are now recognizing that value, and they know that not everything will be going to public. There will be still applications, workloads that are sitting on-prem, and there will be something which will be in the middle, which might be sitting on a dedicated instance on a public cloud. And what we are helping clients to do is basically understand what kind of workloads, what kind of applications do they have in their current environment, and how would you transform some of that into a public cloud, and where would you have other parts of that environment residing in the future, and help them to also articulate the strategy or create a strategy and vision how you successfully master the journey into the cloud.
How do we simplify that workload discussion? If I go back 15 years, we were having this workload discussion about what did we virtualize and what didn't we virtualize. We had the discussion as to whether we put it into hosting centers or whether we held it on premises. What did we outsource? What did we hold on to? We seem to still be in that same general discussion of trying to define workloads, trying to define the correct place to put them. Does this get tiring for customers because it seems to be just going over the same ground again and again?
I don't think it is, honestly speaking, Ian. I think customers understand that you have multiple characteristics that you can take into account when it comes to where to put your workload. And it could be a criteria based on architecture. Is it something that has already been highly virtualized? In that case, it's very likely that it can be put onto a cloud immediately. Is it a workload that is highly complex? Do you have heritage capabilities that you have programmed over decades? Then it might be highly likely that you keep that on-prem and that you would open up that data or the process or the business logic with APIs towards the cloud so you can connect to the cloud through APIs connections. There are other characteristics based on applications, for example, that can be taken into account. How well has an application been programmed in terms of modularity so that you can bring it onto the cloud? We are going through a, I would say, very sophisticated assessment, which is very much automated now. We are also using cognitive capabilities to figure out what kind of workload can be put immediately onto the cloud, which might be a little bit harder to be put in the cloud, and what workload would we be recommending to stay on-premise. I think we have figured that out pretty well and can help customers to come to a conclusion very fast.
One of the challenges of moving a workload is you change a lot of characteristics. Again, if we go back and look at the early stages when we started to talk about understanding workloads, we would look at how much data we moved, we would look at how many users were connected, we'd look at how much storage we needed. What we've seen in the last few years with cloud is all those old ways of assessing a workload and the requirements of new systems mean nothing in cloud. We might move a workload and get 8 times the amount of data flow through that workload. So actually doing that assessment has become much more complex. One of the things we heard downstairs was about Watson starting to be used to actually look at new workloads, to look at what resources the company had, be that cloud, be that on-premises, and help make those decisions. When will we start to see that roll out, and how do companies begin to trust that? Because of course it doesn't necessarily have the whole history of understanding their business.
Well, I think you need to monitor the data that flows into the cloud quite intensely, and we have the tools and the capabilities to do so. And certainly we are using also cognitive capabilities on the IBM Bluemix platform to get the insights out of the data inflow, not only from a content perspective, but also from a data volume perspective and where the workload can be put. Most importantly, you have to think about scalability when it comes to cloud capabilities. Scalability in terms of how much volume can you really compute, how much volume can you crunch, basically, in terms of getting insights out of the data, where can you store it, and do you have the capabilities if all of a sudden you have a massive breakthrough with your app and a success, can you really deploy the application either in a global way or can you scale up in the data center in which you are located so that you would never have a bottleneck with regards to performance and that the client experience, which is the most important piece in cloud, would basically suffer from it.
And that scalability now is becoming fully automated. We're no longer having to sit down and try and predict when we want it. We don't hit a brick wall and suddenly have to instantiate a whole new set of machines as a temporary measure. How is that cutting costs? Because we still see a lot of pricing of cloud in the per hour or per day, particularly for software licenses. But if I'm actually using that hardware and releasing those hardware resources because I no longer need, why do I not release the software licenses at the same time? There's a disconnect here between the software and the hardware licensing on cloud.
I think that depends on what kind of application do you run on the cloud and what licensing model do you have. If you think about the pure infrastructure capability in the cloud, that is very much like a utility model. You basically pay for what you are using, you pay for the consumption. Certainly when you talk software as a service models, we also have consumption models that we are providing on our cloud to clients. That is also purely consumption-based, where you would not have a license like in a perpetual model that you would have on-prem. We are doing this on IBM Bluemix. You are only paying for the APIs, for the services, for the microservices that you are consuming. It might be a different way of how we are pricing it. It might be by transaction, it might be by the volume, it might be by the service. That is truly depending on the context of the service that you are consuming. But in general, it is very flexible. And the cost effectiveness comes in that flexibility, and you don't have to spend the capex as in the old world, where you have to roll out your data center, your infrastructure, your compute power, your storage, your network, plus you have to have the labor that is managing all of that infrastructure and helps to automate it. All of that are the savings which, in the total cost of ownership model, are making the cloud much more efficient and cost effective.
If we think about the hardware side, IBM's allowed people a capacity buffer. particularly where customers are taking Z systems into the cloud. Will we see that same type of buffer begin to apply to software licenses? Because it makes sense. If we're going to have customers who suddenly burst slightly over where they are, they might just need 5 licenses for half an hour or an hour just because they've spun up some machines, they're dealing with a peak crisis, and it will drop off. At the moment, as soon as they instantiate that license, it starts a subscription-type basis that has to then be reversed. Can we align the two?
In general, I would say my vision is yes, that we will see these pricing models. I think what the industry needs at this point in time is a little bit of experience to understand how you put these pricing models in place and how do you also make it practicable for customers to consume those pricing models. It doesn't help if you have a big matrix. In my mind, whatever you do in terms of complexity or whatever you do to add complexity to a cloud model, that would basically be countering the thought of a cloud, of providing simplicity and providing consumption when you need it. I think that's the limiting factors when it comes to pricing models, that more experience is needed and that you need to find a way to combine those two models.
You talked just now about using Bluemix to deploy microservices and applications. When we look at customers and we look at their use of cloud, one of the advantages of Bluemix is it will deploy not just on-premises, it will deploy to the cloud, it will deploy to Power, it will deploy to Z systems. More importantly, it will deploy to multiple clouds. They're just simply targets. How sophisticated are customers at the moment in their use of Bluemix? Are they already plugging in all of their possible platforms and just seeing them as deployment targets? Or are we still, for many customers, getting to grips with they understand a deployment target in the traditional sense, but they haven't quite started to treat cloud as just another platform?
I think it's hard to generalize the answer on that question, Ian. I think it really differs by the application of cloud technology by customer sets, as well as the skill and capability set they have. And this is basically the life cycle of the cloud by customer. I firmly believe that every client has a different roadmap, has a different journey to the cloud, and are in a different life cycle. It's very, very hard to generalize these pieces because customers are coming with a different history, they have different experience, different skill sets, they have different needs towards their customers, different needs towards their IT requirements that they are having. So all of this considered, there is no way to generalize it. But certainly what we are seeing is that the multiple cloud usage is something that customers are thinking about, and either it's going towards how do I broker multiple clouds or how do I orchestrate and automate multiple workloads across multiple clouds. And these are the technologies that are being discussed right now intensely. Bluemix plays a major role in this as a platform, given that we have the open architecture, the capabilities in terms of cognitive capabilities, analytical capabilities that are really truly adding value, which other clouds outside of IBM's do not offer. It is a value add that wants to be used, but customers are thinking, how can I bring the other clouds into that environment so I have the capabilities for all the data, for example, that I'm bringing in through other connection points, through other data sources, so that they can leverage the capabilities on Bluemix for all of it.
Data is a challenge for a lot of customers. Do they keep on-prem? Do they move it to the cloud? The volume of data becomes a considerable challenge in deciding what to move, because no matter how much money we invest in bandwidth, we never have enough bandwidth. Are we seeing greater maturity from customers in understanding what data must be held on-premises, what data is subject to regulators and data sovereignty, and what data actually can be moved to cloud, can be allowed to be more fluid in where it's stored, so that if it's being used by another unit in a different country, the data can be moved to a cloud location closer to consumption point?
I think there are two aspects of that question. The first one is the architectural one. The second one is the data privacy and security piece. Let me start with the second one on data privacy and security. I think that the customers, the companies, are highly sophisticated when it comes to data privacy regulations and compliancy to that. And that's not only GDPR, there are many other industry regulations that are being put in place, and how they have to comply to specifically protect the data of individuals and the personalized data. I think customers, companies are spending a lot of time to ensure that they are fully compliant to that, and that's the right way of doing it, and we are helping them to crawl through that understanding of the data and how you can categorize the data so that you can either keep it on-prem or that you can put it onto the cloud. That's the first aspect. Second aspect is the architectural piece, which is equally important, because given that data is the natural resource, or the resource now that is really differentiating, it is important that you have access to all the data that could be important with regards to your business model, to your decision-making processes. So it's important to have a data architecture that keeps all of this in mind, your own data sources as well as third-party data sources, whether this is social data, whether this is weather data, whether it's data that you have bought and purchased from third parties like marketing agencies, for example, but you have to bring it into the data architecture. And once you have it in the architecture, then you can use cognitive capabilities to drive the insights and get a competitive advantage out of this data, or you bring it into an application where then the insights basically are contributing to a user experience. So these are the two pieces that I would always separate, the architectural piece as well as the data privacy piece.
On that data privacy piece, if we look at the potential for Watson and we look at the complexity of GDPR and what is now considered PII, will we see shortly a add-on for Watson or a Watson product that will be able to scan all my data and say, that looks like it's PII, that looks like it needs to be protected? Because there are a lot of companies who, given the amount of data they hold, aren't in a position to classify. They don't know where to start with this. The new PII items that have been introduced with GDPR are outside of a lot of people's scope of reference. They just don't have visibility of them at the moment. And Watson seems to offer an opportunity as a service to come down, scan through a set of data, and at least provide a first pass.
We are using those capabilities when we are doing assessments for our customers, what data they should keep on premise and what data could be going towards the cloud. With regards to a service that we would make public onto Bluemix that would have those capabilities, I would rather not comment, as this is basically a statement of our future roadmap.
Okay, I appreciate that. It seems that something that would be, in the same way as I have a backup service, something that would scan my data once a week, once a day, seems to be a really useful thing to be added. So hopefully we hear more on that as we go forwards. What do you see as being the next big thing that customers are going to start demanding from you for cloud?
Well, I think there are two things that are currently taking off, I would say. First of all, it's the industry clouds, and secondly, it's the subject matter expert frameworks that we are providing. From an industry perspective, we are providing today on IBM Bluemix, on the IBM cloud, already industry services like healthcare, like education, like financial frameworks, and you will see us adding additional industries. The beauty and the advantage of this is that we can take the decades of our industry expertise and put this basically into frameworks, into on the cloud that customers can consume, where they are getting the advantage of having faster time to value, faster time to market, and where they don't have to create these assets by themselves, but can use the experience that we have based on our decades of expertise. The second piece are the subject matter experts, which are really value-add services like Internet of Things frameworks or blockchain, for example. Also, the cognitive capabilities are falling into the same category, but I think that goes without saying, given that our cloud is really made both for data and cognitive capabilities. But blockchain, as well as IoT, is something that is lifting off in almost every industry at this point in time. Trusted transactions are needed in every industry, in the same way like Internet of Things is taking a major hold in every industry based on the sensor capabilities that we are having. So industry and subject matter expertise are the next big things that we have on the platform already, but that will be extended and where we are seeing more demand in the marketplace.
Are you beginning to see an acceleration of companies who are reinventing themselves to be pure cloud companies, i.e. instead of just porting their applications onto the cloud to infrastructure as a service, they're beginning to say, okay, we can now just take our code, we can put it onto a platform as a service, we no longer need to worry about a lot of the underlying elements. That gives them much more flexibility, it gives them much more speed of delivery, but it does require not just an architectural rethink, it requires a whole cultural rethink inside their IT.
Yes, I do see those, both in customers that or companies that are existing today and that are going through that shift, through that transformation, both from an architecture technical perspective, but also from a business model and cultural perspective. And then secondly, in startup companies or companies which are about to be founded or has just been founded, their business model could already be on the cloud, and they would never think about spending capital expense for building a data center, for building infrastructure. They know that everything is readily available on the cloud, and that in many of these cases, their business model is already digital, where they are using the capabilities that are available on the cloud.
We know startups like the idea of just going to cloud, and in fact they're not going to get money off investors the moment if they start to say they're going to buy physical infrastructure. But for new projects inside large enterprises, is cloud first really starting to take hold, or is it still a marketing term they look at and some are trying and some really aren't convinced?
Again, different maturity stages based on industry, based on countries or trading areas, I would say. But as a general statement, I think it's fair to say that every company, A, is thinking about how to leverage cloud capabilities, and those ones that are a little bit advanced in their life cycle, they definitely implement the cloud first mantra, which doesn't mean that everything will be on the cloud, but at least they give it a try and they want to understand, if we cannot put it on the cloud, why is that, and would it make sense to think about it, how to change that? Certainly they have also understood that not everything needs to go onto the cloud, but that it's an advantage to think cloud first.
For those customers who haven't been able to be here this week, what are the top three takeaways you'd give them from IBM's announcements around cloud?
First of all, I would say cloud is an innovation and business value platform. It's an enabler for your business success. So think about cloud and how cloud technologies can help you in your digital transformation. Secondly, it's all about hybrid cloud capabilities. It needs to be enterprise ready, it needs to be secure for the enterprise, and we can provide those capabilities with the IBM platform. Thirdly, it's about data. Our entire platform has been designed for big data volumes and to take cognitive capabilities and get the insights out of the data. Fourthly, it's all about industry capabilities that you want to have on top of the cloud, whether it's a specific industry add-on or whether it's the application that is running on the cloud. And then last but not least, subject matter expertise, capabilities like Internet of Things, like blockchain, is going to play an important role, and you want to have those capabilities on your cloud platform immediately.
Sebastian, thank you for your time.
Ian, thank you likewise. Appreciate it.